Now's a time when things are shifting. There's gonna be a new world order out there. And we've got to lead it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, everyone? This is End Time Headlines. It is Thursday, the 21st of April, and it is going past the 4 p.m. Eastern hour here in my neck of the woods. And we want to welcome you to the broadcast today. If you're new here on Facebook Live, please let us know in the comment section below that you are new or this is your first time joining us and where you guys are joining us from. We always love to hear from anyone who's new to the broadcast and so that we can acknowledge that. Today, we've got an interesting topic today that we want to talk about. But before we get started, we want to encourage you, if you've not yet downloaded our free app, it's available on Apple and it's available on Android for your convenience. This way that you can keep up with all of our headlines and our latest podcast that you can both either watch or listen or both at your leisure. And again, if you're listening to this today by Apple or by Spotify, you can download the free app right there at your Apple store or your Android store by typing in End Time Headlines. Download the app, get it into onto your device so that you can keep up with what our ministry is going through. So Prophecy News Watch shared an article over this past week that I thought was very interesting and is going to be the topic of our discussion today. This is the headline, "Are We on the Verge of the Tribulation?" Described in the book of Revelation. Again, I'm going to read this again. This is the title, and this is going to be our topic of conversation today to close out this podcast week. Are we on the verge of the tribulation described in the book of Revelation? So I know we've got a vast audience here today, and with that, you're going to have different theological perspectives and views. Believe it or not, we have individuals that will be here in the broadcast, either live or by the rebroadcast of this, and they will emphatically tell you, because they believe that we are already in the tribulation. They believe wholeheartedly that we are in the tribulation period mentioned in the book of Revelation and described in the book of Daniel. I, on the other hand, do not believe that we are in the tribulation yet, and that we are merely in the birth pangs of the Messiah. Now, having said that, that's why I am talking about this today, because again, the question is, how close are we to actually entering into this tribulation period? So again, prophecynewswatch.com, so we want to give them the credit for this article, and we're not going to read this verbatim, but we're going to kind of use it as a backdrop per se for a conversation piece. And we're going to kind of go there with that. And I'm going to share some stuff from my heart with you today on this discussion. We know, according to scripture, I'm going to pull this scripture up, and this is going to be a real interesting foundational scripture because there is so much in this. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 32 through 35, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his, when he goes through this whole discourse of the signs of the coming of the Lord, the signs of the end times, and what will be the signs of the end of the age, he tells them right here in Matthew 24, 32 through 35, there is so many nuggets in this and major clues to the return of the Lord that people just skip over. I'm going to read this, and then we're going to break this down, and we're going to show you some stuff here. "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So ye also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Again, that is Matthew 24, 32 through 35. Now I'm going to pull the screen back here. So again, you can follow along if you have your Bible with you, but I want to break this down. First of all, Jesus said, this is a parable. And with every parable, there is a purpose to it. There, it's an enigma that we as believers need to solve. So he says this entire parable is centered around the fig tree. So we have to ask ourselves, who is the fig tree in discussion here? The fig tree is the nation of Israel. Almost every scholar, every theologian will agree with that. That's going to be important when we go on with today's topic. Now, notice he says, when its branch, the it here is the fig tree, which is Israel. Now, the Bible will interchange the word Jerusalem or Israel here with the word Zion. That's going to be important as well. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Now, the summer here is the harvest, the end of the harvest, the end of the age. You'll know that it's near when you see something occurring with Israel. And we're going to explain what that is in just a moment. Listen to this. You'll know that it is near at the doors. Now, it's interesting he uses the word doors. The word doors is interchangeable, and it's used all through the Old and New Testament, and it refers to the end of one thing and the beginning of another, or the transition of one thing to the transition to another. There was a door in the ark that was supernaturally shut by God himself, who shut the righteous in and the wicked were judged. There was, if you go to the book of Genesis chapter 19, Lot was pulled into the house and the door was, he was pulled in through the door and the men on the outside were judged, but Lot was safe on the inside. You go to the book of Revelation chapter 4, John has a vision in which he is caught up in the spirit and to the third heaven. And the Bible says there is a door standing open and he hears a voice say, come up here and I will show you things that must take place after this. This, the event that is referred to as this is the catching away or the being caught up. John was caught up in the spirit. There was a door in heaven. He was caught up through the door. And he's in heaven in the spirit before God's throne. And the door is shut. And the Lord says, now I'm going to show you what's going to happen after this event. So the word doors is interchanged constantly in scripture. Surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Now, he was obviously not referring to the generation that was present of his day because the Lord did not return. He did not set up his kingdom and he did not rule for 1,000 years. So this generation in reference here is the generation that is alive and well that sees the culmination of all the things that the Lord talked about happening simultaneously together. And he refers to them as birth pangs. They will accelerate, they will increase, and they will happen in greater velocity and greater magnitude as we get closer to the Messiah returning. And then again, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. In other words, he's saying every word, and this is all going to play into this, guys, in this discussion. You just got to hang out with me for a few minutes, and it's all going to make sense to you. The Lord is saying that every prophetic word in which I've spoken through the prophets of old regarding the fig tree And everything else in light of that is going to come to pass when it's all said and done. Now, watch. So let me go back to the article. And again, Prophecy News Watch, the author here, which was Britt Gillette, I believe that's Gillette, how you pronounce his name. He put in, he listed some events he believes are happening. Number one, the convergence of signs. Let me say that again. The convergence of signs. And by the way, you can find this article at prophecynewswatch.com. And we shared an excerpt of this on endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. He says that there is a convergence of signs happening simultaneously. All right. So number one, Israel back in the land. God promised to bring the Jewish people back into the land of Israel before he returned. And he gives you scripture for this. And we talked about this in our last podcast in great detail. But let me go ahead and give you this. Jeremiah 23, verses 7 and 8. He said he would call them from among the nations. Ezekiel 39, 28. He said he would call them from the farthest corners of the earth. Isaiah 11, 12. And from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. Psalms 107, 3. He promised to welcome them home from the lands in which they were scattered. Ezekiel 20 and 34. When they did, he promised to return and establish his everlasting kingdom. Isaiah 11, 11 through 12. And on our last podcast, we proved to you that about 95% of all these prophecies have already been fulfilled in our lifetime. So this is astonishing. It's amazing. Then he says the Jewish people would be in control of Jerusalem. Jesus said that armies would surround Jerusalem and destroy the city and enslave its citizens. The Roman legions fulfilled this prophecy in 70 AD. And Jesus then said people other than the Jewish people will control Jerusalem for a time until the Jewish people once again control Jerusalem. And when they did, Jesus promised to return, Luke 21, 24 through 28. And since 1967, the Jewish people have controlled and occupied Jerusalem. Again, fulfilling this prophecy. Now, here's what's intriguing. All those prophecies, I shared this on our last podcast, all those prophecies regarding Israel, they had to be fulfilled in order, listen to me, for the Lord to return. Let me prove it to you. Psalms 102, 16 through 18, for the Lord shall build up Zion. I told you that word Zion and Israel, they interchange. You'll see them interchange often in the word of God. And the word build up here is to restore to its original state. So for the Lord shall restore Israel, he shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. For this shall be written for the generation to come. In Hebrew, it's acharon, and it means the last of the last or the end generation. That a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. I have said this numerable times, that the generation that is alive on the earth that begins to see the rebuilding, the restoration of Israel is a generation that has the potential to be alive at the coming of the Lord when he appears in his glory. Acts 3, 19 and 21, Peter tells us that heaven must the word in Greek here is receive, and it actually means to restrain or to hold back or withhold. Heaven must withhold Christ until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. That's what I said when I told you in Matthew. Let me go back up here. Matthew 24, 32 and through 35. I told you all this would play into this. We know the fig tree represents Israel. When its branch becomes tender and brings forth its leaves, in other words, when prophecies begin to be fulfilled regarding the nation of Israel, you'll know that summer is near. So also when you see, or whoever's reading this and they see all these things, you will know that it is near and even at the door. And listen to this. Remember, I told you in verse 35, he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away until all things be fulfilled. And look, I just showed you in Acts 3 that Peter speaks by revelation of God and says that heaven is restraining or holding back Yeshua or Christ from returning to the earth, so that the prophecies that's been spoken of all by the prophets of old would come to pass and be fulfilled since the world began. This is interesting. Now, here's another thing. Ready? The author of this article, Prophecy News Watch, said that one of the signs of the coming of the Lord would be that the gospel of the kingdom must be preached throughout the world. This is Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Well, listen to me, friend. I've said this before. This is why you and I can get excited about this, because no other generation ever previously has had the technology and the capability alone to be able to fulfill this prophecy. With satellites, radio, shortwave radio, internet, social media, and the list goes on, television, we have the ability to bring the gospel of the kingdom into places that in times past, no other generation had the capability to be able to do that. So this is extremely important to understand that this is not something we just read over. We have the technology to bring this to pass in our lifetime. This is how the gospel can penetrate places, again, that no missionary can set foot on or that we can get to physically. All right, then we have another prop. Look at this. Then we go to the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 4. Now, what are we talking about today? We're talking about how close are we to actually entering into the tribulation? How close are we to entering into the tribulation of the book of Revelation? That's what we're talking about today if you're just joining us. The book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 4, Daniel, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said the Lord spoke to him and told him to shut up the words of this prophecy and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. You guys have heard me talk about this. Two things right here in this passage is transportation methods would explode. They would increase. They would expound. Again, no other generation ever has had the transportation capabilities that our generation possesses, with automobiles, planes, trains, automobiles, aircrafts. We have every means of transportation available to be able to travel to and fro. And then he says, knowledge shall increase. Are you kidding me? Look at the expansion and explosion of knowledge that our generation possesses. I mean, you've got big tech giants that are wanting to put a contraption upon your face and on your head that brings you into a whole other world of virtual reality called the metaverse, in which they claim that by 2030, that billions of people on the planet will already be immersed into this new world. And this is where they will function. This is where they'll operate. This is where they'll carry out everyday life in another dimension. Don't tell me that knowledge is not increasing. Look at the capabilities. Look at the medical capabilities that now we now possess and are able to do. Look at the communication through, look at the modern telephone at one time, how it has transitioned and progressed. And now we have an entire computer in our hands and the capabilities, and they're continuing to evolve with the technology. So listen, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the explosion of transportation and knowledge. Then we have the rise, according to the author of this article, he talks about the rise of the Gog and Magog alliance. The Bible indicates that there will be a military alliance that will include the likes of Russia, Persia, which is modern day Iran, Turkey, and other Muslim nations that will pour into Israel in the latter days, according to Ezekiel 38:8. And again, by the way, this happens after God has brought them back to their nation. So this right here could have never been fulfilled until everything else that we just talked about earlier about regarding the restoration of Israel. And right before our eyes, I can turn on the television right now and turn it on mainstream media news outlets. And right before my eyes, I'm seeing Russia, which is a player involved in a war with Ukraine that I believe is stepping stones towards, again, the advancement to this prophecy of Ezekiel 38:39 or the Gog Magog war. You've got Iran who is continuing to threaten Israel. Who's going to stop the nuclear program? Is it going to get out of hand? What's going to happen with that? What am I talking about? I am saying to you that we are witnessing this Gog Magog alliance. The players of that are already in place, waiting. Then we see the rise, according to the author, what we're seeing now. He's talking about the convergence of signs. The rise of a united Europe. The Bible talks about a revived Roman Empire that will come into power in the end times. Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Revelation 17. He didn't really put this in here per se, but this is the seventh empire. We've talked about this on previous podcasts. This is that seventh empire of Bible prophecy that will last a short space. In fact, John says it will be an empire that will last for 42 months. And then after that, will emerge the Antichrist, and he will form his eighth and final empire. This is the 10 toes of Bible prophecy. And this, my friend, is also happening in front of our eyes. I believe this great reset and what's happening with the great reset and with the World Economic Forum, the pushing for a digital currency and all that stuff is all pushing us towards the emergence of these 10 kings of prophecy that's mentioned by Daniel and John. Daniel called him 10 toes, John called him 10 horns. And out among the 10 will come the little horn, which is the Antichrist. So this is astounding. And wait till I get to the end of this, guys. I think you're really going to enjoy this when we put all this together. Then we have what's called, the author put, we're seeing the rise of a global government. And I'm going to take it a step further than what he put here. Not only are we seeing the rise of a global government, we're seeing the rise of a new world order. And you say, well, that's a play on words. No, not really, because it's not just a global government. It's a new, it's a one world religion and a one world government, which will desire or require a one world leader. And by the way, if you listen to some of the conferences and the meetings of the World Economic Forum and their meetings, they are desiring, they are looking for a global leader that will lead the charge. And they've even said in some of their meetings, now is the time for that individual to rise to power. So it's all there. Now, let me read this here. The Bible indicates a single government will rule the world politically, Revelation 13, 7. Religiously, Revelation 13, 8. And economically, Revelation 13, 16, and 17. In the last days, this triune system, again, political, religious, and economic system will rule over all people, tribes, and languages on the earth. And again, we can see the thrusting towards this. Then we have the great apostasy. The old timers call it the great falling away. Now, Paul never said great on here. If they're referencing, and the falling away shall happen first. That's in Thessalonians. The word great has been added to that. But I get what they're saying. I'm not undermining what they have said. But don't miss it. The writers of the New Testament, make no doubts about it, have indicated that as we get closer to the appearing of Messiah, the return of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as we get closer to that miraculous and glorious event, the writers of the New Testament indicate that there will be a falling away, there will be apostasy, there will be scoffers, there will be deniers, there will be lukewarmness, there will be perilous times, they will have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power thereof. So this is where I kind of buck against the traditional charismatic Pentecostal stream of prophecy teachers. Now, I'm not bashing them at all, because several of them have been my mentors for years. But this is where I disagree with them, because many of them, and I'd say most of them, will constantly say things like, there is coming this great global worldwide revival that's going to sweep the earth as the waters cover the sea. And they always point to Joel chapter 2. And again, the problem I have with that is when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, he said to the people, this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Again, I'm not doing a play on words. I'm telling you, Peter stood up and said, this is, now what is this is? This is the Holy Spirit being poured out in the upper room to the 120 on the day of Pentecost. And the men that were in the room, those that were involved in the room, the Bible says cloven tongues of fire fell on each one of them, and they all began to speak with new tongues. And Peter stood up, and because there was a lot of confusion going on, people were freaking out, people were excited, people were saying, how can this happen? What's going on? So Peter had to stand up, and he had to bring clarification, and he had to bring edification. And when he did, he stood up, read it. It's in Book of Acts chapter 2, and he stands up and he says, this is that which was prophesied. So listen to me. Joel 2 is not some future event that's going to happen and has not happened. it, listen to me, it was initiated all the way back on the day of Pentecost, and Acts chapter 2 is when it was initiated, but it is still present tense today, April 21st, 2022, still happening. God is still pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. God is still giving dreams, come on, to old men, and visions to young men. God is still using men and women in these last days. Y'all hanging with me? But watch this. But when I go to the Bible in the New Testament, whether it's Peter, whether it's Jude, whether it's the writings of the Apostle Paul, when I begin to read their writings, the common thread, listen to me, is falling away, apostasy, deception. You listen to me? Form of godliness, but denying the power of. Talks about ungodly men will rise, scoffers will rise. There's a decline. There's a defection of truth that is setting the stage, listen to me, for the great appearance of the Antichrist. How else do you get to Thessalonians, where the man of perdition, the man of sin, takes his throne, and the Bible says the whole world begins to wander after the beast, and he's able to perform lying signs and wonders to deceive the very elect if it were possible? Listen, the Bible says if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. How many believes that is a great level of deception taking place in the last days? But nowhere in there, go study it, nowhere in the writings in the New Testament other than Acts chapter 2, Peter standing up and quoting Joel, nowhere in the Bible does it speak of this great euphoric utopia revival that's going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. I can't find that, guys. Now, listen, am I against revival? No. By the way, the word revival is not found in the Bible. It does use the word refreshing, and it's found in the book of Acts chapter 3. Where Peter stands up and says, repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So in other words, what we call revival, the word of God calls refreshing. And it really means, the word revive actually means to revive something or to bring, it means the recovery of breath, to resuscitate something that was once alive but is now dead and bring it back to life. That's what it means. So am I against revival? No. If anything, listen to me clearly, we need revival today, or AKA refreshing. Your church needs refreshing. Come on, somebody. Your marriage needs refreshing. Your business needs refreshing. Your church needs refreshing. We all need times of refreshing. Notice he said times, plural tense, because you can't get just one refreshing in your walk with God. You'll get a refreshing and it'll last you a few months, but eventually that's going to wear off. Life is going to come at you. Trials are going to come at you. Worry, anxiety, fear, all this stuff is going to start coming at you, and it's going to start sucking the life out of you, start putting out your flame, start putting out your devotional, come on, your devotional passion. It starts pulling you away from the word, pulling you away from prayer, pulling you away from his presence, away from church, whatever the case may be. So then that is an indicator, come on, your light is blinking, saying you need another refreshing. So Peter tells us that in our walk with God, we're going to need times of refreshing. Now that was a huge rabbit trail I just went in, because I want to get back on to the topic here, but don't miss what I'm saying. What I'm saying here is that one of the signs of the coming of the Lord and how close we are to the tribulation beginning is there is going to be this great apostasy that's covering the earth. Guys, do I need to expound on it? Look at the leaders that are following. Look at the churches that are following. Look what's happening across the board. Very sad times. Gross darkness is covering the earth. But come on, we're the light of the earth. We're the salt of the earth. We're supposed to become brighter. We're supposed to make others more thirsty for the gospel by our walk. So, and of course, I could have went over famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these are signs of the coming of the Lord. But again, we want to get into the tribulation. So I took some notes today that I want to share with you. If we really are on the verge of entering into the tribulation, there are some things that has to take place. So let me give you some of those things. Number one, according to the book of Romans chapter 11, the Apostle Paul talks about there is coming a shifting. There's coming a shift from the Jews to the Gentiles or the Gentiles to the Jews. What am I talking about? Let me explain what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there was a Paul, and I want to save the real meat of Romans 11 for a whole other podcast because it would take an hour to expound on that. And we'll do that. We'll take a whole podcast because I've got people at my church that I attend that because I teach on Wednesday nights and they want me to do a whole teaching on that. So what I'll do is when I get all the notes for that, we put that together, we'll do that here too. But let me give you a little bit, some cliff notes on this. Paul said that right now, present tense in his day of his writings, he said, listen to me, that blindness was in part to the Jews. The Jews was blessed to have the Messiah right in front of them, but they were blind. There was a spirit of blindness was on them, and they rejected the Messiah. Thus, God had to raise up a Gentile by the name of, the Apostle Paul to preach to the Gentiles. So that, watch this, Israel being the root and we as the wild branches being grafted into it. So watch this. Israel's blindness opened the opportunity and allowed us Gentiles to be grafted into the covenant. But here's what's interesting. When you get to the end of Romans 11, Paul says that this will happen until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. Now, there is a number, a sovereign number. Don't ask me what the number is because I don't know and you don't know, but God knows. He keeps the books. But there is a, apparently, according to what Paul's revelation is in Romans 11, there is a certain number of Gentiles that will be grafted into this covenant. And when the cup has become full, then watch what happens. There, then a shift will take place, and the Gentiles will then go blind, and it will open the door. And I quote to you what Paul said, that all Israel may be saved. And I'm going to tell you when that's going to happen, in the tribulation. This is why the two witnesses come and the 144,000 are marked by God. Because I believe, you want to know my opinion. Again, this is my opinion. You can say, I don't know if I believe that. Or you can say, I can see that. Whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to tell you, I believe this event right here will coincide with the rapture of the church. Because God will take away his church, caught up, same thing that John heard. He heard the words, come up here, a door will open, we'll be caught up, the church, the ecclesia will be caught up, and then God's focus, he will shift then to Israel. He will focus then, and that's in the tribulation. You can go and read that again. I just gave you a whole hour of teaching in like 5 minutes. So again, all right, now watch this. Then we have, there has to come, Romans 11, the building of the temple. We talked about that in great detail in our last podcast. There has to be a temple that will be built in Israel. Why? Because according to Thessalonians, there has to come a revealing of the Antichrist, which has not happened yet, and the Antichrist takes his throne and sets up his headquarters in this temple. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about these events. Some of these events will happen during the tribulation, but there's a couple of these things that I believe we are even, I'm going to quote to you what the Lord said, even at the door. And that event, Romans 11, the transition that he speaks of here, I believe is the catching away or the gathering together of the church. And then this temple has to be built. Now, I don't know, is it going to be built during the tribulation or could it be actually constructed before it? I don't know. But I do know that John said in Revelation 11 that he talks about detail of the construction of this temple. So I don't know, they could have the blueprints being laid out. They could begin to begin constructing that. And by the way, the two witnesses will be influential in that. And those two witnesses have not come yet. So the point here is, guys, we cannot be in the tribulation right now because there is no Antichrist. There is no temple. There is no two witnesses. There is no mark of the beast. There is no false prophet. So we are not in the tribulation. We are in the birth pangs of the Messiah. But friends, I believe from what I just showed you today, that we are even at the door of the tribulation. And you say, man, this doesn't sound like very good news. Well, again, you must not know the word of God because Luke 21:28, my Bible says that Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things come into pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Endtimeheadlines.org, guys, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. That's where you can find us. That's where you can subscribe to us. That's where you're going to keep up with our ministry. Again, download the free app. It's available on Apple. It's available on Android. It's for your convenience. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity, if this ministry is a continual source of blessing, information, encouraging, and equipping on a weekly basis, pray about what the Holy Spirit would have you to do, whether it's partner with us, become a monthly partner, or if you'd like to give a one-time gift or whatever the Lord puts upon your heart, you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically right there on the app. Now, right there on the bottom of the app, you can give electronically, or you can go to the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, and you can give electronically. And then the other way, the old school method, the OG method is what I call it. You can give by check or money order, and that is making it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391 Monroe, Georgia. And again, that's 30655. By the way, I don't know if you guys on Facebook Live, if you watch our videos that we do on Rumble or YouTube, when we do the final cut of them, if you got, and many of you guys have commented on the amazing intro that we've done, that was one of our partners of our ministry. One of our partners of our ministry created that for us, sent it to me, said, hey, what do you think about this? When I watched it, I was blown away because what he didn't know is I had music already set aside and it fit the intro perfectly. So that was one of our partners that God put it upon his heart to sow that into our ministry. So we appreciate that. I don't want to give out his name because I don't want him to lose his reward. Come on. We don't do that. That's why we don't. A lot of times, listen, every one of you guys who sow into our ministry, whether it's checks, money orders, giving electronically, whatever, we know who you are. The Lord knows who you are, but we don't broadcast that. We don't put plaques up and names up because we don't want you to lose your reward. In Matthew 6, the Lord says, give in secret And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. When I give, when we give to our ministry, we tithe, we give offerings, every penny that comes to our ministry, we sow back into other ministries. We don't broadcast that. We don't say this and that. Why? Because we don't want our ministry to lose our reward. We want our ministry to continue to be blessed and prosper. Come on, somebody. Do you agree with that today? Listen, we're going to sign off for today. Today will be our last day for this week because tomorrow we've got all kinds of family stuff. I've got family coming in from out of state, and we've just got a whole lineup of stuff. So we're not going to be able to fit in a podcast this weekend or this week on Friday or Saturday or Sunday. So we're going to take off for 3 days, and we'll be back on here on Monday to launch our next week's week of podcasting. So be sure to be looking for that. And we appreciate you guys. And from the bottom of our heart, we appreciate every partner, every supporter, every prayer warrior. You know who you are, and we love you guys so much. And listen, let me pray for you guys, and we're going to sign off for today. So listen, have a great weekend and be blessed and be safe. You guys, some of you has asked, what is it that you guys need? What do you need in your family? Look, pray that God's blessings upon us. Pray that God's the windows of heaven would be opened over me for revelation knowledge and understanding, that I would hear from the kingdom. Listen, I want to be able to hear from God's throne and be able to deliver to you what God is speaking to us in the earth today. Also, there, you know, just the basic needs, healing, provision, protection. Those are how you can pray for myself and for my family. As always, we appreciate your prayers. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every individual today that's watching live, listening today by the rebroadcast, as they're watching by the rebroadcast of this. We bless them today. Lord, we ask that you would prosper them in all that they put their hand to do. May they be encouraged. May they be edified. I pray, Lord, for your protection over them. May the angel of the Lord be with them and keep them and bear them up in their hands, lest they dash their foot against the stone. You said in your word, the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear you, and he delivers them out of all their trouble. I plead the blood of Jesus over every one of them today, and I declare that no weapon formed against them shall prosper in Jesus' name, and every tongue that would rise against them shall be condemned. Father, we thank you that you are blessing the works of their hands to prosper. You're blessing every marriage that's represented today, that's watching or listening today. You're blessing their children. You're blessing their families. You're blessing their businesses. You're blessing their churches and whatever ministry or church is represented, watching or listening today. May you bless it exceedingly abundantly in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you for your word today, that I pray that will not go forth and return void, but it will prosper in that which is sent forth. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Again, have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.